Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, nah.
Good morning out there in internet land. Welcome to another show of Love Your Human Design. And this show is brought to you by loveyourhumandesign.com. I'm Peter Rowe, your host. And today we're going to be talking about profiles. And in particular, we're going to be talking about the 4-6 profile, special in my heart because I am one. And this is a series. If you happen to be another profile, you happen to be new to human design, there are some other recordings we've done, I think, 4 of the profiles so far. There's a total of 12 profiles, and we'll be getting to each one at a time. But today we're going to focus on the 4-6. And before I go much further, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Reverend Rick of revrick.webs.com. Welcome, Rev.
Good morning, Peter.
And so we're going to be talking about profiles, and profiles are really, they put the personality in your expression. Within human design, there are many different aspects that you can learn about and that we will talk about, but the profile really puts your personality, the spin on how you present yourself. And to understand the profile, we need to look at the lines in human design. So I'm going to back up here for a minute. And what I want you to do is I want you to picture you on the earth. And, in fact, you can picture yourself back when you were in the womb and you were on your way to becoming a baby. And around the earth, I want you to picture a wheel, a full circular wheel. And in that wheel are 64 numbers that go right around. Now, they're not in numeric order. It might go 13 and then 5 and then 64 and then 8. But basically, they surround the Earth in a wheel. Now, as the planets move around, and those are the planets and the sun are what give us our design, as they move around, they move through those gates. So I think typically the sun takes about 3 days or so to move through a gate, 3 or 4 days.
Actually about 5 or 6.
5 or 6. Ricardo's my activation energy expert, so so they take 5 or 6 days to move through each gate. And as they move through the gate, each gate is divided into 6 sub-segments. And these are called lines. And so with the sun in particular, it's going to move through gate, we'll take a gate, gate 64. And it will enter gate 64 in line 1. And then it will move to line 2. And then as time passes, it will move to 3, 4, 5, 6. And then it moves out of line 6 into the next gate. And so basically, that's how you get your line. And if you're curious where the line is represented, there's a chart out on my blog post for today. And so if you go to loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right-hand side, click on Peter's Blogs, and there's a top post there on the 4-6, the opportunist role model. If you click on that and scroll down, you'll see a chart there. And on the left-hand side of the chart, up at the top, you'll see you'll see 2 columns of numbers, a red column of numbers and a black column of numbers, and in the center are planetary symbols. The top one's a circle with a dot. And so if you look at that number, the top black number is 15 there. And then there's a little 4. It's like an exponent number. And so what that represents is for me, because this is my chart, the sun was in gate 15, line 4, when I was born. And if you look on the other side, when I got my, about 88 days before, I got my personality, or I mean, I got my design aspect. The sun was in gate 25, line 6. And so that's what makes my profile a 4-6. So if you have your chart, take a look at your chart and look at the sun symbol there, the very top line, the circle with the dot, and look on the right, and you've got a gate number, and then you've got the line number, the little number, and that's your, that would be your first line of your profile. And then take a look at the left, the red number at the top, and look at the sub number or the exponent number, and that would be the second line of your profile. But what do all these lines mean? What does the 4-6 mean? Well, we're going to spend the better part of an hour talking about what the 4-6 is. But really, before we can go there, we need to have an understanding of what each line represents. And so Reverend Rick is going to take us through that.
All right. Thanks, Peter. The first thing I want to say is that the lines, as each planet or celestial body goes through each gate and activates each line in turn, what's really happening is the progression is a progression of the energetic expression of that gate. And in other words, how does the energy of that gate reveal itself in our daily lives? And depending on where the influencing factor is in terms of which gate, it's going to have either a more inward focus or a more outward focus. And the way that relates to the lines is lines, anytime you see a gate activation in your chart that has a line 1, 2, or 3, those are what we call the inner focus gates, the inner focus lines. This is energy that gets expressed that usually has more of a, the focus is more on the self rather than others. Anytime you see a gate that's activated in a line 4, 5, or 6, that's more the outer environment. That's more the way the energy gets expressed is going to be more focused on outside of the self or more focused on the other. So when we look at that, let's take a look at the different aspects of the inward focus. Line one, and each one of these lines carries with it a specific name or keyword, if you will, and line one is known as the investigator. Now again, line one is an inward focus line, so the investigations here are going to be more towards establishing some kind of foundation. It's an energy that, the experience is going to be more of an informational foundation for the energy, but it's going to always be reflective of how is this affecting me. The investigation, getting to the root of the expression, the curiousness, wanting to get to the deep part of it. It's almost a drive to investigate, to understand. And a lot of the questions that you want to get, if you've got questions, you want to get to the heart of those questions, you want to get to the deeper meaning behind all of that, you want to establish some sort of foundation that from which you can build. But again, it's always, how does this affect me? And it's not being selfish. It's important to understand this is not about being self-centered. It's about being self-focused. And many times, depending on the energy of the gate that's being activated, we really need to have that focus on ourselves so that we can know, depending on the gate, maybe which direction we're going in. Is it an appropriate direction for us? Things like that. The second line, its keynote, keyword, or title, whichever way you want to refer to it, is that of the hermit. The second line is known as a hermit. Now, when you think of hermit, you think of somebody pretty much just kind of closing themselves off from society and not wanting to deal with other people. To a certain extent, that might be true, but the hermit as an energy is a little bit different. A line two represents a hermit energy that reaches out to others. Now, again, it's still focused on the self because it's still the self, say, going to a party and deciding, I'm just going to sit in the corner. I don't really feel like being social. I'm just going to stay here and not really deal with people. But what ends up happening is the energy that gets released in that line, too, is one that reaches out, and people who are nearby will feel that energy and will feel drawn to it. because it's an inward focus line, these people are drawn to the person that excuse me, that has that line. So instead of being shut away from society, what's happening is that energy is reaching out and drawing others to you. So it's kind of at once the hermit that says, leave me alone, but don't leave me, kind of thing. The third line, again with the inward focus here, but in this case, it's known as either experimental or experiential. I prefer to think of it as experiential. Some people refer to this line as the trial and error line. To be honest, all the third line profiles that I've met, they all say the same thing. It's not so much trial and error as it is try. There's no such thing as an error, because everything, the understanding of one's environment, comes from experiencing everything around them. So this third line profile is all about having the experience. It's trying everything. It's kind of like I think Garfield said it. It's the try everything in life once and then go back and do the fun things over again. So that would pretty much be the theme, I guess, or the motto for a third line profile. And there again, the third line profile is all about experiencing things. And if you have a third line, if you have a three in your profile, today we're going to be talking about the 4-6. If you have a three in your profile, you're not doomed to experience things over and over and over again. It's all about having new experiences. It's all about learning about your environment, learning about your world, and experimenting with different things to the point where sometimes the results are going to be very, very favorable, but sometimes they're not. And therein is another lesson for learning about the environment. So it's not a mistake, and I think that's part of what is really important for people to understand. When you have a third line profile, or when you have a third line activated in a gate, that means you are here to experiment with that kind of energy and experience the different manifestations of that energy. There are no mistakes. As long as you can experience it and recognize the experience, then you've done what you were designed to do. And therein lies, you know, the ability to develop a deep wisdom about that kind of expression, that kind of energy. So I'm going to stop there and say, Peter, do you have any questions or comments or anything like that?
Thank you. I do. Just for the new listeners, because we may have a lot of new listeners out there, as he's going through these lines, and he mentioned it a little bit, we're going to focus on the 4-6 as he gets through all six lines, after he gets all through all six lines. But, you know, if your profile has any of these numbers in, you can piece together what he's talking about. So if you were a 1-3, for example, you know, he talked about the first line being investigative and detail and the third line being experiential and experimental trial and error. So that's speaking to you specifically. If you're second line, you're a hermit. And so now he's completed the inwardly focused three lines, and now he's going to move up to the 4, 5, and 6, which have an outwardly focused. They're in some senses more people person oriented because they're looking out to find out the meaning of life. Ricardo?
Right. And I want to make it clear that, you know, even though there are certain keywords associated with each line, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to get hung up on that title. You know, line 2 may be called the hermit, but it's also referred to as being called out. So if you don't feel like you're a hermit, don't let that stop you from understanding what the real essence of the energy is and the expression of the energy. Because remember, this is all about the expression of the energy behind these lines, not so much the titles that we give them. Okay.
And Ricardo, that's a great point, because my favorite story is that my wife Nina was the investigating martyr, which are the formal words for a 1-3, and when she got her design, she threw it in the trash. She was offended by that, and don't be. You know, get over the words that are used. They're the author of the system uses shock to try to wake you up. And that doesn't always work. In her case, it backfired for a while because she threw it away and stepped away from human design for about a couple months. But don't let that get in your way.
Right. And as far as using shock to disseminate the information about the system, that's part of his design. So he's meant to do it that way. Other people, Peter, you're the vessel of love. You have a very different approach. You don't necessarily shock people, but you bring them along gently and support them in the process. So it just depends on, you know, who you're dealing with. You can give these lines totally different words. You can call them orange, you can call them blue, you can call them aardvark, and it doesn't matter. It's still just talking about the expression behind it. So let's look at the outwardly focused lines then. Line four, and this is another one that a lot of people have a little bit of difficulty with, line four is called the opportunist. Now, if that word doesn't sit well with you, think of this. Another way of referring to line four is, where's the party? Line fours are generally very social people, and we're going to talk more about that later on. But line fours are generally very social people. The reason they're referred to as the opportunist, however, is because part of their design is that the opportunities that come to them through their connections to others, hence the outwardly focused expression of the energy. They're very social. They make connections very quickly and easily, some of them short-term, some of them longer-term. But they are constantly drawn to go out and be social so that they can make the connections they need to make, because those, more than likely, several of those connections will end up being an opportunity for them later, sometimes for a job, sometimes for moving to a new location, sometimes for an experience, you know, just different things. But that's all part of the energetic makeup, and that's why they use the word opportunist. All of the opportunities, the major opportunities in their lives, are going to come from their connections to others. Moving on from that then, line five is very similar to line two, in that line two is an energy that reaches out and draws people in to the second line person. Line five, if you look at it, think of it as the reverse. It's an energy that comes from outside and burrows down into the individual. So it's a projected energy just like the line two, except it's going in the reverse order. This is one where I happen to be a line five in my profile, and I absolutely love the title of this line. It's called The Heretic. But that's because I'm kind of weird and like to do things on a different level anyway. So, yeah, Peter, you know that. So, but the heretic is really, it's more an energy that if you're around someone, if you have a line five, or if you're around someone who's a line five, you feel that energy around them, and it can be very seductive. These are people who know how to get what they want, not because they're manipulative, but because that energy feels yummy to other people, and it can be very seductive. And as I said, it's a projected energy. It's an energy that what happens is other people will be around a fifth line profile person and start to form an image of who that person is and how that person is. And really, they're forming all of these ideas and assigning all these attributes to the individual based on a very superficial look at who that person is. Very often, they have only a very limited view of the person. So really what ends up happening is they form an imperfect image of this person. It's not that the person's consciously hiding anything or trying to present just a certain aspect of them. I'll put it this way. I used to be a school teacher, high school math teacher. I was a very different person in school than I was at home because I needed to have a persona at school that I couldn't, you know, that I couldn't be that open. You know, my students were all, they were all my kids, you know, they were all my children, but I couldn't necessarily treat them the way I treated my own children at home. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a difference in persona there. And the way my students got to know me was very different from the way my son knew me. And they would tell all kinds of different stories there. But what ends up happening is the label heretic gets assigned to a fifth line profile because suddenly they see you in a way that it doesn't fit the paradigm that they've established for you. They see another aspect. They see another level. They see another side, and they think, oh, my gosh, I don't know you at all. And so the image they have of you is fragile at best and easily shattered. Now, if they're getting to know you and if they're a good friend of yours, they'll have learned that they're going to see over time all the different aspects of you. But it's hard to present all of that in one shot. The energetic expression, however, is such that whatever a person needs to see about you is what they'll see. And that's why the energy gets to be very seductive. And before I get into line six, I'll break there. Peter, any other comments or thoughts?
Yeah, just something you said triggered a thought in me. And I have a daughter that's a fifth line, and I know several fifth lines. And the marching to their own beat, I think you could be applied to the fifth line. And, you know, it definitely ties to what you're talking about in that people perceive the fifth line that they may be marching to a uniform beat, one that fits in, and they have that perception. And after they get to know them, they start to realize that, nope, the fifth line's got an outside-the-box beat. And so I think that that's probably an accurate way to perceive it, too, that the fifth line has its own sort of agenda, own beat that it's marching to. And that's attractive, but at some points it sometimes sort of breaks the perceived image.
Exactly, and thank you for saying that, because that really is what's going on, is the fifth line profile is literally being themselves. But they may end up being a different self according to the situation, according to what's necessary. And most people do that anyway. But for a fifth line, it carries the added weight of, gee, this is how people see me. The problem is the fifth lines never realize that. They don't realize that people are looking at them and establishing a universe around that person based on what they're seeing, basically. And so therein lies the heretical nature. When they actually start to do their own thing, to follow their own beat, which is quite necessary in society because we're all designed to interact like that. What a boring world it would be if we were all the same, eh?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, when that fifth line person starts doing their own thing, other people are going to sit there and say, wow, that's not who I thought you were at all. And there again, therein lies a possibility of, or a potential to really be psychologically damaged, you know, and I think it's important for people to understand if you're a fifth line, you're going to have your own beat, and people aren't going to understand it. They're going to understand you for a while, but as soon as they see the other aspects of you, they're going to think, what happened? Why'd you change? And it's important for you to understand you didn't change. You're still the same person. They're just happening to see you from the left side instead of the right side, or from the back side instead of the front side, you know, or, you know, from any other angle. Excuse me. So, all right then. So moving on to the sixth line. The sixth line is a very interesting profile to have. And Peter, I love some of the stories that you share about this, but the sixth line is very much like the third line. The third line has that experiential nature to it. The sixth line has three phases to it, and it starts off with that experiential nature, the same one that we talked about with the third line. However, where the third line may have that need to experience different things around them, probably all the way up until somewhere around, you know, 38, 40, 42 years of age, the sixth line profile will engage in that until about roughly 28 to 32 years of age. And then they get to a point where they say, you know what? I don't have to do this anymore. I can actually learn about my environment, learn about my surroundings by watching other people. And so we refer to that phase as going up on the roof. This is where they may seem a little bit aloof, they may seem a little distant, but really what they're doing is they're taking in information about their environment, about their world, and establishing a level of understanding based on observations of others. By the time they reach somewhere around age 50, they now have the collected wisdom of what they've experienced in their early life, along with the wisdom of what they've observed from other people. And at this point, they now carry the energy of the role model. So the term associated with the sixth line is the role model. Now, this doesn't mean that they are a guru sitting up on the mountaintop waiting for people to come to them, although some people may choose to do that. But essentially, they carry the energy that says, I know, I understand, I've pieced it together, you know, I have this knowledge. And other people will be drawn to that energy, and they'll come and they'll ask the sixth line, can you help us with XYZ? And the sixth line profile will turn around and say, yeah, I can do that. Or the sixth line profile may turn around and say, nah, I'm not really interested in that. Thanks for the opportunity, but I'll decline. So just because somebody has the energy of the role model does not mean that every opportunity to be the role model is appropriate for them. They still have to rely on the other energies in their charts. They still have to rely on their own strategies for their particular types to know whether or not the opportunity to be a role model is an accurate one for them. And Peter, do you want to add anything more to that?
No, I think that's pretty good.
All right. So are you ready to tackle 4-6 then?
I think we are. So the 4-6, we're going to put two of these pieces together here. And so as Ricardo talked about, the fourth line is the opportunist. The fourth line also has a very foundational quality about it, that things like friends, family, job, home are very important, that foundation. That foundation is, in fact, where the opportunity comes from.
And so, thank you, Peter, for mentioning that.
So ultimately, we have this profile, this personality, that's going to have this opportunity, this foundation. Opportunity through the network is huge for a fourth line. And the sixth line that's going to have this role model attribute. And that's the combination of the two that ultimately play out. But as Ricardo mentioned with line six, there is this life stage process to a sixth line profile. And in fact, with a 4-6, it's really the only profile where both lines of the profile go through three stages. So in the first 28 years, when the sixth line is acting like a third line, when the sixth line is looking for experience, is experimenting, the fourth line is also acting a little bit like a first line. So essentially, for the first 28 years, the 4-6 acts like a 1-3. They're an investigator, and they're looking for experience, looking to experiment. I don't think, from my personal experience, that the investigation is as deep as a first line. And I think that the investigation is more about the opportunity, is more about the getting the foundation that the four wants, the friends, the family, the home, that one four acting like a one is focused on that kind of investigation and foundation. A true first line, their investigation knows no bounds, I think. They if they're passionate about it, if it's something they're passionate about, they will investigate bugs or trees or, you know, any subject, yarn or knitting or anything that they're passionate about.
Belly button lint.
But the first line, with the fourth line acting like the first line, the 4-6, I think that one attribute is more looking for that opportunity and foundation with friends and family and the network. But I will say from my experience, that first 28 years is so much more inwardly focused. It's you really do take on, it's all about me type of attitude. And I don't think that it's all about me or that inward focus or self-focus is consistent as a true 1-3 profile. Mm-hmm. I think it's intermittent, because you still have the true profile of the 4-6 underlying. And so while there's this inward focus and there's this experimenting, and in some cases the experimenting can be to an extreme degree. And you do something and it's like, how did that affect me? I can remember when I was 15 or 16, some friends of mine and I went cliff jumping in Newport, Rhode Island, into the ocean. And it was kind of like I don't know if you ever saw those cliff diving in Acapulco back in the 70s when they had Wide World of Sports. But it was kind of like one of those experiences. And the rest of the guys with me were jumping off of a lower cliff that was probably maybe 15, 16 feet above the cove. But there was one outcropping way in the back of the cove that some of the locals would jump off, and none of my group would do it, but I had to try it. I was a 1-3 to the extreme. And jumping off this ledge, to do this, you had to time the waves coming in and out, because if you jumped at the wrong time when the waves were out, there'd only be about 4 or 5 feet of water. And you had to stay to the right-hand side, because there was a ledge on the left-hand side that basically, if you jumped left, you'd land in 1 foot of water on rock. And you had to jump along, there was a razor-sharp edge along the right-hand side that you had to basically jump parallel, because if you jumped too far right, you would hit that razor rock edge and get cut up. And so I did this once, and that, you know, and I did it perfectly, landed no injuries. But it was something that I had to experience. I knew that it was within my physical capability. You know, I knew that it was doable because I'd seen some of the local guys. But it was something that I had to experience, that 1-3 drive. I wanted to see, how did that affect me? And it was exhilarating, and it was, you know, it was a thrill. And, you know, I got done and I was like, I'm crazy. That was probably one of the stupidest things I ever did. But you know, that's the 1-3. And if you're a parent, and Ra coaches this too, Ra-Ru Hu, who brought the system forward, if you're a parent of a 4-6, it's extra important that you keep tabs on what your kids are doing, because they are going to do this experiment, and it may be to an extreme. And, you know, it's not that necessarily that they're going to be unsafe, but you can help them to know their limits in doing
well,
that.
Well, and even the parental guidance is important there, but keeping in mind that part of this experimental nature is you can tell them as a parent what's safe and what's unsafe, but be aware of where they are and what they're doing, because this really is a way for them to understand and know their environment. And so knowing it and experiencing it are two completely different things. So as Peter said, knowing the limits of, you know, what's an acceptable experience to have and what's a foolhardy experience to have, you know, while they're still within your realm of control, that would be a good thing to be involved in, I think.
In using the profile, the knowledge of the profile, they're a fourth line. Their network of friends are going to be key. And so if they happen to fall into what you might say the wrong network of friends, that the opportunities for them to experiment are going to be more risky, then you can try to help them find a better opportunity of friends, a better network. You're not going to be able to just change it, but you can certainly help guide them, give them opportunity to find that right network if the people that they're involved in are not giving them the right environment to experiment, because they will experiment. You cannot stop them from experimenting or experiencing. You know, I think my jumping off the cliff was an experience, not an experiment. I knew I could do it, and I knew, you know, I had seen it done, but it was an experience that I needed to have.
Right. And just to touch base on this, Peter, you've mentioned there are 12 profiles. Out of those 12 profiles, the 4-6 is the only one that has a completely outward focus. And so it's important, I think, for people to understand the first 28, 30 years of life, you know, where the 6th line is experiencing the 3rd line energy, and that 4 is going down towards the 2 or towards the 1? Towards the 1, right?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
The 4-6 during the experiential part of or phase of the 6th line, the early part of life, I should say.
The 4 is acting like a 1.
Right, 4 is acting like a 1. Okay. I think it's important to bring out the fact that that is the only inward focus. You know, since almost all the other profiles, out of all 12 profiles, there are only 2 that are focused on one aspect. So the 4-6 is focused on the outer environment. The 1-3 is focused on the inner environment. So in the first stage of life, the 4-6 is going to be acting out like a 1-3 or experiencing things like a 1-3, because it gives them that self-identity. It gives them that self-focus, that inward focus, so that they know how things affect them. Later on, then, it shifts into the energy of the 4-6, which allows them to bring that inner knowing, that inner knowledge, that inner understanding out to others, and it becomes the wisdom that they can share later on as the role model.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Ricardo, because I think when I look back on my first 28 years, at times that brought up real conflict. I remember a basketball game that I was playing in, and it was one of those games that I couldn't miss a shot. And I had a shot from the corner that actually skimmed the top of the backboard on the way down and went in. And as I was running by the scorer, there were 2 scorers keeping the scorebook, and one of them said to the other, "Who got that shot?" And I said to him, "I did." And the guy looked at me, and he's like, no, I meant a couple of minutes ago." And after the game, I felt guilty that I was so basically inwardly focused in the moment, in that game, that at that point, at the later moment, I sort of the outward profile came and said, "Boy, I was acting like an egotistical snob there," and had guilt pains about it. And I think that's probably common. I can remember a few other occurrences where the 1-3 would kind of get the best of me. I'd be self-focused, and then in the midst of it or afterwards, I'd be like, "Boy, you know, that was kind of, I'm not like that." And so it's a real dilemma, I think, for the 4-6 in the first part of life. It's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing. It's like,
yep.
Go ahead, Ricardo.
Well, I was going to say, and therein, that's another reason for parents to be aware of the profile of their children, so that if they are having if they do have a child who's a 4-6, it's important for the parent to understand, again, this is not being self-centered, it's being self-focused. It's not, I probably shouldn't even be using the word self-centered. There's a difference between being self-focused and being selfish. And that's what I'm getting at. It's not that the individual is being selfish. It's that their energetic focus is on the self, and it really needs to be there early in life before they can actually take that focus outward. And all the other profiles, except for the 1-3, have the ability to shift back and forth between the two of them because they're a combination of an inward focus and an outward focus. The 1-3 is a completely self-focused profile, and that's okay too, because these are the people that others are going to be watching. These are the people that are going to be going through and having the experiences, and others are going to be learning from their experiences. So they're still affecting their outer environment, but they're doing it all in a very personal, very very centered, in a very centered way. Does that make sense?
It does, and that's a good point. I really like that self-focused term because I think it's more accurate. And it really, you may have a 1-3 or you may have a 4-6 that's in your life that at times it may feel personal. Why is it always all about them? You know, at least at what's going on in their world or what they might be working on. And it's not personal. They're just designed to be, as my wife put, my wife's a 1-3, as she put it, she has to take care of herself before she can externalize anything, whether she's learning something or whether just energy. If it's at dinner time and, you know, and she's depleted, she's hungry, she might have to have a snack before she can make dinner for all of us because she's got to take care of herself in order to give that energy out to others. It kind of reminds me of the whole airlines thing. When the oxygen mask falls down, the parents got to put theirs on first before they can help the child. And that's kind of like the 1-3. They have to do this internalization first before they can turn it outwards.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you said, it's not personal. It's just energetic. And when we learn to realize that it's all the interplay between the energies, you know, there's no personal to get in the way of all of that. We can allow our own energies to interact with that of others and understand that these interactions all have a way that they're designed to play out. And that's what keeps rolling smoothly.
Well put. But after 28 years, or thereabouts, the 4-6 realizes that the inward focus, the experimenting or experiencing, doesn't truly work for them. It's not giving them the secrets of life. And so as Ricardo mentioned, it's at that point that they go up on the roof, that they take a step back, that they turn their focus outward, that they really start to embody the fourth line. And I think that's a transition. Again, I think that probably starting around 20 or so, that fourth line starts to kick in more. And as you approach 28, then the sixth line really starts to take a step back and go up on that roof. And then they start to look around. The 4-6 starts to look around. And they observe how other people do it. And they bring those successes and failures and that wisdom back to themselves. So, you know, it's really becomes a more observational type of personality. And I've heard some people describe that in that roof stage, which goes from 28 to about 50, 51, that life becomes muted, or life becomes, it's like wearing gauze on yourself or being wrapped up, that the emotionality, that the sensations of all that experimenting are behind you now. And now it's more about observation and vicarious learning.
Meanwhile, all of that gets tucked away into the little book of truths for the individual. And what they've experienced on their own, and what they're experiencing through observation, all comes together to make a beautiful novel that they can then read from later.
And that's well put. It is they're building their novel, they're building their wisdom database, and at around age 50, 51, and for you astrology people out there, the significance of 28 is the return of Saturn. Is that correct, Ricardo?
I believe that's the Saturn return, right.
Okay. My open head, I was debating, is that the North Node, South Node, or Saturn return? I was pretty sure it's Saturn. And then at 50-51 is the Chiron return. And this is where the role model is really, the sixth line is ready to step off the roof. Okay, I'm done observing. I'm still going to have an outward profile. The 4-6 is still going to be an outwardly observational profile. But is probably going to become more engaged. Some of that, if you do feel some of that aloofness or some of that numbness or padding, that's going to start to go away. The fourth line is probably going to kick in and be more social. It's not saying that you're not going to be social between 28 and 50, because that's still a foundational piece for the fourth line. They need their network. They need those opportunities. If you're a fourth line, you know, and you're looking to do anything, whether it's a job, move, find a significant other in your life, your network is your key. If you're without a network, then you need to figure out how you can get one, because that is a foundational piece that you need. But so you're still going to have that outward focus as a 4-6, but you're going to come off the roof. You're going to become a little bit more engaged. And again, as Ricardo said, that sixth line will be a role model. It won't be a preaching role model. Hey, I know how to do it. That's usually not the way the sixth line works. The sixth line is usually, again, it's more passive, and people will energetically seek out the sixth line. And if it's worthwhile, either it's worth the time and effort of the sixth line, or they feel like if they don't help, it will cause some undue detriment to the people that are asking help, then in those cases, the sixth line will get involved.
Right.
Anything you want to else you want to add about coming off the roof, Ricardo?
Well, actually, I was thinking when you were talking about the fourth line, you know, being up on the roof and being a bit aloof, that doesn't mean that the fourth line gives up its networks and its connections and its sociability. And I thought, you know, this is a good time to bring out the fact that the fourth line is the conscious line. It's the personality line. It's the one that the people are generally more aware of. And so you're right. That's going to be the dominant energy that's taking place there. In the background is where the sixth line energy is going to be on what some people call the subconscious or unconscious side. I like to just think of it as the innocent expression, the energetic expression that we may or may not be aware that we have. And in that sense, you know, a 4-6 profile will probably still be social and still be connected, you know, with their friends, their social network, their foundations, but maybe not be going out as often. They might choose to, you know, to quiet down their lifestyle a little bit during that period on the roof. And then when they're ready to come down off the roof, they'll probably end up being a lot more social and have a lot more perspective on what they do, when they do it, how they do it, and who they do it with.
And that's so true. And maybe this is coincidence, but let me give you my life story. At age 28, 29, I had children. And now as I'm approaching 50, I'm 48 in the next 2 years, my kids are going to be out of the house and off to college. And it's just, you know, it's just, I didn't think I'm a 4-6 profile. 28 to 50 is the perfect time to raise kids. But that's what happened. That's energetically what happened. And I went from, you know, before 28, going out every Friday and Saturday night with my friends. And as I had kids, and not just because I had kids, that draw wasn't in there as much. You know, I don't need to go out every Friday and Saturday night with my friends. You know, I can see them once in a while. And, you know, it was that step back. But it really, you know, it's really synchronous with how, at least how my life developed. And I didn't even know about human design until 4 years ago.
So are you saying that now you can hardly wait for your kids to leave so that you can go out and have some fun again?
So, well, I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be, you know, coming off the roof, but it'll be a different going out.
Yeah, and you have some great kids anyway that you, I know you've had a lot of really great experiences with them, so.
I do. We're sad to see them go, but they have their own opportunities. Well, we have a caller that has been, had their hand up here and been very patient, so I'm going to bring them on the line. Area code 315, do you have a question for us or a comment? You're on the air? Area code 315, last number's 4976. Did you want to comment?
You've got somebody listening who's a little shy there, Peter.
I guess so. Well, Ricardo, did you want to add anything about the 4-6 profile?
No, I think I'm glad that you mentioned the other key phrase for it, which is only if it's worthwhile. I'd forgotten to bring that out with the sixth line. But yeah, the role model is not always somebody who's willing to share their knowledge. And that doesn't mean that they're being selfish. Again, it's nothing personal, it's just energetic. If the energetic connection is not there, they don't feel drawn to you know, impart their wisdom.
Exactly. And so let's go look at my chart, not because it's all about me, because it's not anymore. But I'm out of that stage. But I did want to point out one of the things that you talked about earlier was the fourth line. And it, you know, and going to a party, you know, the fourth line is the opportunist in the network. And, you know, when we talk about specific things in human design, like the fourth line or the sixth line or any of the profile lines that we've talked about today, we make generalizations because we're looking at a piece of the overall design. So if you want to go to my chart, it's on loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right, Peter's Blogs, click on Peter's Blogs, and there's an article on the opportunist role model, the profile 4-6. Click on that snowflake there. And if you scroll down, you'll see my chart. And the point I wanted to make is that for me, in social situations, I am typically the guy that holds back in the corner or holds to the side. And two pieces that go into that are the fact that I'm a generator, so I'm waiting for something to respond to. But another significant piece of that is that if you look at my throat center, I have no throat. There's no energy there. There's absolutely no energy. And you may hear that, in fact, that even in an hour talk show, I start to go hoarse because I just don't have sustainable energy there. And so for me as a fourth line, even though the opportunity is with my network, I can't go engage it. And there will be other people that are out there that have a fourth line that have a throat. And they may have a motor to the throat, so they're either a manifester or a manifesting generator. Or even a projector.
Right.
But they have a motor to the throat, so those fourth lines are going to be more engaging at a party. They're going to be more, you know, hi, my name is Frank, and that kind of thing. Ricardo, you want to add to that?
Just that, you know, I never realized that you not only have an open throat, you have no activations even leading to it other than the 10. That's very interesting.
It's challenging.
So once a month, you get the moon energy coming in and activating gate 20 so that you've got a little 10-20 action going on there. And
I just have
interesting
to be careful
what you talk about then.
Yeah, I have to be careful what I say then. And that's a little inside joke for people that are new to human design. The people that have the channel, the 10-20, again, the 10 is off the identity center there, and the 20 goes up to the throat. Because it's a straight shot and it's talking about It's talking about the identity center. It's talking about self-behavior. People with a 1020 have what's called the verbal gunslinger, and anything can come out because it's just there's no governor. There's no restriction, especially if things become emotional. It can slip out, and you're like, oh, I wish I didn't say that.
Yep. Yeah. Very interesting. But Peter, something that's, since we're looking at your chart, I'd like to bring up something very interesting in here, and that is the little red triangle just below the yellow diamond there. It's labeled the will center. It's connected to your solar plexus, and if you can see the numbers in it, it's the channel 3740, and that channel is known as the channel of community. And it's the energy of the part seeking the whole, you know, wanting to be, the individual wanting to be a part of the group. And that just fits really well with you in terms of being a 4-6. Because you have that energy to be social anyway. And here you have another aspect that brings that energy out. And it does it in such a way that it helps you form in this and establish those bonds even without necessarily needing to speak to it. In other words, you have that open throat with no gate activations on it, but you don't need it because you've got that other energy that helps you to be social and to be connected to others and to form those relationships that are going to be beneficial to you.
And that's a great point. And again, if you took somebody that had maybe a similar chart or had, you know, at least had the 4-6 profile, and they only had the gate 40. They didn't have the full 3740 here, which is the, as Ricardo said, is the channel of family or group or tribe. If they only had the 40, that person might not be as driven to take opportunity to be with family. They may choose more often to be alone, because that gate 40 can be energy that wants to be alone. Or they may want their opportunities to be more through social networking, where it's not so much, it's more collective group. It's more of a collective group. There's less family rules and regulations around the group, and it's more just networking, sort of without bounds.
Right. And really what all that illustrates is that even though we take a particular aspect of a chart to look at, for instance, today, the 4-6 profile, you really can't look at any one aspect of a chart by itself in isolation, because really the story of the individual is told through everything that's in the chart and how it's related and how it's connected. And you know, for you, it's a beautiful example here that you have this channel of community. You may not have a voice that you can make heard until certain things happen, but you still have that powerful energy of being united with a group, with a tribe, with a family, you know, a community, whatever it happens to be. So you, without the energy of the throat, your design helps you connect with others in other ways. And so I just want to make sure that people understand, people listening understand. Even though you can talk about an aspect of a person's chart, you really can't relate to just that one aspect of it. You really got to see exactly what's going on in the chart.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Ricardo, because that's a great point. And you know, when people first get into human design, if you're new to human design, there's so much depth to it, but it is a little bit overwhelming. And the first thing, the main piece of information I send out when I send out the charts is your type and your strategy, and that's really step one, understanding where you fit in the geometry of how everybody interacts together in a global way, but then drilling down deeper into understanding your design and living your design are the keys to finding harmony and balance.
Absolutely.
So, again, we're wrapping up the show on the 4-6 profile. Thank you, Reverend Rick, for being here. It's revrick.webs.com to go to his website.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure. as always.
And join us next week. If you're a generator or manifesting generator, we're going to talk about the sacral response. Have a great week.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Take care.